2:30. It is a Monday. Now, we've moved Connor to Mondays. Jesse Fruworth had some conflicts, so Connor's been gracious to move to Mondays. Always a pleasure. Connor thinks long and hard about these issues, especially with kind of a Utah flair. He brings quite a depth of knowledge, author of two popular libertarian Mormon books, also the head over at the Libertas Institute here, Public Policy for Utah. Let's go to the phones. Connor, are you there?
I am, Jake. How are you?
I'm doing super duper.
Good to hear it on this fine sunny day where I'm at least.
Yeah, so I have to say, I saw on Facebook pictures of your library, and I'm very jealous.
Oh, I'm very happy.
That looks amazing, man.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. It's kind of some people kind of call it the Monticello. That's kind of what we're going for. We built a new home, new office, and so all the walls are just bookcases. I'm very excited for it.
Very cool. So you know, what did you want to talk about today? I know over at the Libertas Institute, you guys do a number of things. Mm-hmm. One of them is playing Utah's legislative watchdog.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you want to talk about today?
Yeah, exactly that. So today, for those who aren't aware, is the first day of the legislative session, 2013 general legislative session in Utah. The general session lasts for 45 days, according to the Utah Constitution, and that's calendar days, so it's not just business days. It'll end in mid-March. And there are interim sessions sprinkled throughout the year where some business is conducted. And then the governor can, you know, of course, call a session of the legislature should he feel the need to do so. But it's typically the general session lasts. It starts the last Monday of every January, which in our case is today, and we'll go through mid-March. And so 45 days, it's kind of a blitz, right? There's a ton of stuff going on. There's 104 legislators. Historically, they have together passed around 500 bills. And this is a voluminous amount that is added to the new code. Now, oftentimes, new bills that are passed, they're not entirely new laws. They're tweaking the code and adding a paragraph here and updating some language. So it's not that it's just always adding tons of new stuff, even though, you know, 99% of the time they are adding something rather than subtracting anything. So on average, about 500 bills, there's a lot going on. And one of the things that we wanted to do with Libertas was really streamline activism. So I found it difficult in the past to just wade through. You know, there's so much going on. We've got everything coming out of Washington, D.C. We've got global issues, of course, too. We've got our local municipal stuff. So for those who want to focus on the state, especially during this crucial time, during this 45-day session, we really wanted to help streamline things. So the benefit that I have is that I'm a web developer by trade. Historically, I've always worked as a web developer until I transitioned full-time for my political activism and work with Libertas Institute. So using that skill, I'm able to kind of have this fun little combo of being political activist and working at this think tank slash doing some web development. So I built some tools for our website that's going to help people a lot. For example, there's already, you know, 100 or 200 bills that have come out prior to the session that starts today. Legislators who are okay releasing them to the public, opening them up, and just getting the process started, they, you know, do that, and we've gotten to that point where 100 or 200 now have achieved that benchmark. Many times, legislators are either still working on bills, they haven't even proposed the bill yet, or the bill is ready, but they want to play the timing game. They want to find the right time to release it to the public, and so we just don't know how many there are, what they are, who's doing it. So at this point, out of 100 or 200 bills, there's already a lot of complex legal soup going on. I mean, I've read through a vast majority of these bills that have been proposed and have at least skimmed them all, and there's just a lot of minutia. So one of our tools is the legislative tracker, and with this, we really wanted to focus on the more important bills that political activists, liberty-minded people throughout Utah should be more concerned with. Because frankly, a lot of the bills are pretty mundane, right? They update some, you know, insignificant part of the code that doesn't really matter, doesn't have a significant impact for liberty. Though we might take a position for or against it, it really doesn't it's not too significant. So out of the bills that we have right now, we whittled it down to about 26 or 27 that we currently have on our tracker on the website. For those who don't know, the website is libertasutah.org. Libertas is like the word liberty, but instead of the Y, you have an A-S, libertasutah.org. You can find the tracker, and we really try and make it simple. So you can see what the bill is, you can see the name, you can see a very concise summary. One of the things that I've been able to do over the years and what people have praised my political work for is taking complex issues and boiling it down to fundamentals. And I find personally that this is really, really needed, especially when you get into this legalese with all of these bills, is that, you know, what, you know, grandma or college student that's crazy busy or whoever wants to sit down and take the time, you know, I'm crazy enough to find some sense of enjoyment in being able to do that, but trying to distill it down to a very concise summary. So that's something we provide. So in just a, you know, read through 15 seconds, you can get a snapshot understanding of what the bill is about. And then we rank them, whether we support or we oppose them. And then we also have the status update. So right now, all the bills are just introduced, but as they work their way through the committee, as they get voted on, as they get enacted, signed into law, all of that status will be there so that people can just ignore the hundreds of bills that don't really have any relevance to life, liberty, and property, and they can get a really good snapshot the bills that are most important. So as we go through today, I want to highlight a few of the more notable ones, both the good and the bad. Some have made their way into the news, some haven't, but there are some important bills that people should be aware of, either to support or oppose them, because we've got this very focused period of time that we need to be on guard. People need to be hounding their legislators, making their voice heard, attending committee meetings up on the Capitol Hill. These are all important things that we can be doing over the next few weeks.
So if people go to the website, they can actually start tracking the information and whatnot. One of the things that I always find people asking me, how can I actually – I had a friend ask me this the other day. How can I actually get some legislation going? I have some friends that want to actually have some sort of law on the books with regards to marijuana and you know, getting maybe something akin to what's just happened in Colorado. You know, my advice is always, well, you need to find an attorney to help you draft it and find a state rep to actually sponsor the legislation. Is there any plans? Are you guys going to do anything to help people actually get legislation passed, especially, you know, yeah, pro-liberty legislation?
Absolutely. So, you know, we launched in July of last year. I started, and so it's been a nights and a weekends kind of part-time thing for everyone involved. We've got staff. We've got a great board of trustees, and so there's many people involved. I migrated from doing it part-time to full-time just right now in January, beginning of the year. So we kind of just really ramped up to get ready for the legislative session, but of course, being only 45 days, we're going to have a lot of, quote, downtime to strategize, to plan, to ramp up and get ready for the next legislative session. There are many things that we have planned for that period of time, one of which is, you know, really working on drafting some great bills, finding sponsors, and strategizing with sufficient time for the 2014 general legislative session. Now, it's really interesting that you asked that question, because as I got involved a couple of years ago at the state legislative level, rather than just worrying about what was going on in Washington, I was with the 10th Amendment Center. I was the director here of their Utah chapter. And so I had experience being able to do exactly that, saying, here's a great bill that we'd like to see, you know, proposed. How do we go about doing it? The interesting thing that I found, and this may be of benefit to some of your readers who may have a great idea, may want to see a bill proposed, have something become law, is that there's something called the Office of Legislative Research Council or something like that. Essentially, it's a team of lawyers who are hired to draft bills. And so the first time I went around, I went to great lengths. I was consulting with legislators, with activists, with organizations throughout the country, to try and really whittle down a very good bill. This one was for interstate commerce. And I spent basically my whole Christmas vacation a couple of years ago working on this bill, perfecting it, focusing on the language, really refining this bill. I had a sponsor for it who was very supportive of what I was doing, who was going to run the bill. Well, the process for the bill is that once they get it, they have to submit it to their attorneys, because the attorneys have their own processes to make sure that the bills are, you know, precisely tuned for Utah code, that they cross-check this section with this subsection. And
yeah, now hold on just a second, Connor, because we're bumping against our break here.
Sure.
And I don't want the music to have to cut you off and then have you rush. We'll come back after the break talking about this, about the new legislative session, what you can do, how the Libertas Institute's here to help, all kinds of good stuff. All right, guys, we're back. Jake Shannon Radio Program in the middle of the Boyack Review. Connor Boyack is with us, as he is every week. Connor, always appreciate your input. We were talking about the legislative session beginning, which is always a scary thing for those of us who care about liberty. Is there anything we should be particularly mindful of?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot that's going on. We need to make sure that we're watching out for both the good and the bad bills. So I want to briefly go through some of the bills that have surfaced so far. Keeping in mind, of course, this is not a comprehensive list. Every day there's going to be new bills that are released. And so perhaps each week I can kind of give a quick update on some of the more notable ones that have happened and what to watch out for and support or oppose. There's a couple of great bills that have come out so far. Some have got some media attention. Many people know about them. One of them is it's called Concealed Weapon Carry Amendments by Representative Mathis. This is HB 76, House Bill 76. Many people are familiar with how the concealed carry permits work here in Utah, that you can take a class, get a permit, be able to have certain rights, you know, ability to carry your gun in certain places to conceal it. This bill, HB 76, would effectively eliminate the need for a permit in certain circumstances. By and large, it would extend the benefits that are provided to permit holders to any adult over the age of 21 in Utah. Many people refer to this as constitutional carry, the recognition that everyone has the inherent right to defend themselves, to carry the tools of self-defense that are needed. So this bill, if it passes, would let Utah join, I think there's 7 or 8 other states throughout the union, which have constitutional carry, which do not require a permit in order to conceal carry a weapon. So that one is a great one worth supporting.
That would be very, very nice. Any on the booze front, I know that that we've gotten more and more liberalized in our laws here since the 2002 Olympics, people realizing that maybe the state monopoly is not the best way to manage those affairs. In fact, I even had the Fox affiliate, the Bureau from down in Denver, calling me today about our weird liquor laws for some reason. anything on that front? Because I know, you know, for me, Trader Joe's without $2 Chuck, well, now because of the rising cost of everything, $3 Chuck, we can't get that wine here. Anything like that coming up?
So the chatter that I've heard is not anywhere close to privatization, but it is about streamlining, right? We need to remember that the state gets a crazy amount of money in revenue from having this monopoly that they do. They're not going to easily give that up. Speaker of the House, Becky Lockhart, was recently asked in an interview the exact question you're posing to me. She expressed doubt that there would be any privatization. She claimed that Utah would always be a control state and said that what she foresaw happening in this session was a streamlining of the licenses that are required. For example, if a hotel wants to offer alcohol, well, they need, you know, this type of license to, you know, sell it in their restaurant. Then they need this type of license to do a room service, you know, offering, that type of thing. She alluded to that she, you know, of course it's not under her complete control, but she foresaw that there would simply be tinkering at the edges, if you want to call it that. There would be no wholesale change of the structure in place. And so unfortunately, it looks like Utah will retain its very firm grip upon the alcohol industry. But there's a couple other good ones. You know, it's funny, on this list of 27 or 28 bills that we have so far, right now there's only 6 bills that we at the Libertas Institute are supporting. The rest we oppose, and it's just a good indication of how much crap is going on.
So what is that percentage-wise, just if you don't know it off the top of your head? Just
I don't. So that's 6 out of 28, so maybe...
So
like 30%?
Less than 30%.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are those 6 bills that sound good, besides the concealed carry deal?
Another good one, gun-related, while we're still on the topic, and there will probably be other gun ones as well, but this one is by Representative Paul Ray. It's House Bill 268, and this changes the disorderly conduct statute. Many times, police officers who are kind of anti-gun or anti-citizens carrying guns or what have you, they will threaten an individual who is open carrying a gun with disorderly conduct when it is blatantly clear that individual is not harassing anyone, he's not brandishing the weapon, he's not purposely intimidating anyone. It's just someone gets scared, calls the cops. The cop says, hey, get out of here. I'm going to charge you with disorderly conduct. This would enact into the statute a recognition that simply existing somewhere, simply being somewhere without any threatening behavior of any sort, is not grounds for disorderly conduct. I personally know someone to whom this has happened. I think this would be a great clarification in the code to say to police officers, unless someone is in fact disorderly, right, you'd think they would understand the clear basis and intent of the law. But it would further clarify it, and I think it's a very important one because this is something that has frequently happened. It's a tool that police use to simply get their way, right? They don't like someone open carrying in a certain location. They want the person to go away, and that's the charge or the threat that they use. This would eliminate that tool, prevent them from threatening people with disorderly conduct when they've been completely peaceful. Something that's of interest to you, I'm sure, as chair of the Libertarian Party in Utah, is a bill that we support strongly that is sponsored by a Democrat, Representative Arendt. This is House Bill 258.
She actually called me personally about this. This is exciting stuff.
So this is really good. It's a long time coming, and we'll see what happens. But this is called Straight Party Voting Amendments. It's House Bill 258. This would eliminate within the state of Utah straight party voting. So for those who recall, you go to the ballot box, you can either, you know, go to the tedious effort of looking at candidate by candidate and determining who you want to fill in the bubble for or press the electronic button for, or right now the convenience you have of saying, well, I'm a Republican and I can just assume that every Republican candidate meshes with my values better than anyone else on the ballot, therefore I'll just check the little Republican box. And then by default, all of the Republicans, I will cast one vote for each of them. This essentially imposes or eliminates that convenience. It imposes an additional barrier to stupidity, if you want to call it that. It at least, at a very minimum, encourages and requires a voter to look at the people they are voting for and to shift away from voting based on party and just ever so incrementally focus on voting based on the person, based on the individual candidate, the merits, and their positions. And so there's a lot more that would need to be done, but we feel that this is a great first step in encouraging voters to move away from partisan politics, focus more on principles, and eliminating the ability to just check off a party box, I think, is a good step in that direction. I'd love to actually get your thoughts on that and hear what you think.
Well, you're talking about the straight party voting in particular, or what?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see much of a problem with it. I mean, to me, in some ways, it's all just rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. And I know, I mean, people get confused, I think, with my involvement with the Libertarian Party. I mean, I do want to get people elected. We do our very best, given our resources. I mean, heck, I think we've done tremendous with our kind of bootstrap campaign. We are the fastest growing party in this state. But that said, yeah, I think it's a great thing. The straight party thing is just ridiculous. It's mindless. For the amount of benefit, you know, I look at it maybe with a cost-benefit perspective as a libertarian and really trying to get people to vote and support the ideas of liberty, and using the political process in the way Ron Paul did. He didn't get elected to the presidency or get the nomination, but he educated people as a didactic endeavor. I think that's a great thing. In this case, I think this does benefit, like you said, getting people to actually take a minute and look through who is this person, hopefully. It's still no guarantee, but at least it takes that mindlessness away.
Yeah, and it will be interesting, the fact that this is proposed by a Democrat. It will be a good opportunity to further sift out the Republicans, right, and see who want to retain their party's power, the vice grip that they have on the state, versus who are the more principle-minded and willing to concede the point that, you know, this shouldn't be about parties. It should be about the individual people, their own positions, their merits. That's a good bill that I'm liking. There's actually a fantastic one, one of the better ones that I think will come out this session, by a freshman legislator by the name of Brian Green, Representative Green. This is House Bill 75.
Yes, and I've seen him. He has strong liberty tendencies.
He does. He's going to be one of the better ones. Those who have been to our website may recall that we have an index for the past 3 years. For the votes that are most pertinent to life, liberty, and property. We've ranked all the legislators, and so you can see how friendly they are to the cause of liberty. Now, of course, Brian Green and the other freshmen don't yet have any votes, so they don't have a rating in the index, but I know Brian, and I'm quite confident that he will skyrocket after this session to being near the top of that list. His bill, one of his bills, House Bill 75, is simply called Occupational and Professional Licensing Amendments. This does a few things, but the most important thing that I want to highlight is that it adds and enshrines into the state code a recognition that each individual is entitled to work in whatever lawful field that they want. That as long as, you know, the state hasn't prohibited the specific action itself, for example, you know, child pornography, you don't have the right to work under this bill. You would not have the right to work in child pornography. But because, for example, being a hair braider is not an inherently unlawful activity, Brian Green's bill would incorporate into the state code a recognition on the part of government that you have the right to work in that occupation should you so choose. Now, there's a lot that goes along with that in the bill. What that effectively does is it restores the right to work for an individual. No longer is it implied that you need a government permission slip. It would restrain the government, this bill would, HB 75, by requiring the government, both for past regulations and future proposed regulations, to demonstrate that the regulations, the licensure requirements for whatever occupation is being dealt with, are absolutely necessary to protect the public health and safety. And if they are, it further requires the government to demonstrate that the regulations proposed, the licensure being required, is the most specific and limited regulations and requirements that can be imposed to achieve that objective of promoting and securing public health and safety. So it effectively restores what regulation once was all about. It has completely suffered from scope creep. There's all sorts of new licensing coming out. For example, a bad bill, one of the ones that we are opposing, is one by Senator Knudsen, which would require licensure for HVAC subcontractors, heating, venting, and air conditioning. That's a new, you know, all sorts of the construction trades are under licensure requirements by the states. This would be a new one if this bill passes. That would be added. Representative Green's bill would really put a dam on that flow of regulation and licensure coming out of the state, and would provide a good opportunity to push back on the state and review existing regulations and licensure so that people could more effectively fight against them and say, look, I have the right to be a plumber. I don't need to, you know, take 2,000 hours of school and pay this fee and whatever the requirements are for the specific trade that's involved. This is an excellent, excellent bill. Anyone who supports the free market, anyone who opposes Doppel, anyone who opposes the crony capitalism and the collusion of business and government, the undue regulation upon private industry, really needs to step up, support this bill, contact your legislators, really put the pressure on our representatives and senators to make sure that this bill is passed, because so often on the campaign you'll hear these people talking about, right, the free market and how important it is to make sure that the government...
Oh, yeah, sure, it's lip
market.
Service until it comes to the war on
exactly,
drugs or
exactly,
whatever their little thing they don't like. Now, here's something that I would request then, because I don't know Brian, but yeah, it sounds very promising. Please, can you ask him to sponsor the this new Shannon legislation that I'm proposing right here? It's very simple. For every one law passed, two must be repealed. That's
Amen.
It. If I could get sponsorship on that, I think we could solve a lot of problems right there in like one sentence.
And you know, we talk about lip service, and then this point that you just raised, when the session opened this morning, the Speaker of the House, Becky Lockhart, encouraged and really bullied her fellow representatives and said restraint. That was her key word. She said restraint, representatives. She called out the hair braiders. She said, do we really need to license hair braiders? Do we really need more licensing for businesses? Do we really need, you know, hundreds of bills that are being passed? Representatives, I encourage you to show some restraint. And so here you have the leader of 75 representatives in the House of Utah. Now, of course, it could be lip service. She doesn't have the highest record on her index. She has her own room for improvement. But to hear the leader of these representatives advocating for that, encouraging them to try and reduce regulations and eliminate the need for so many laws, it's at least promising enough that we can use their own words against them should their actions prove inconsistent. But I'm hopeful that we'll see a little bit of improvement. This legislature, this session, is going to be more moderate. We had the Hatch effect with Orrin Hatch's campaign. He, you know, on his coattails, inroad a lot of more moderate candidates into the legislature, outwent a lot of the more conservative and liberty-minded legislators.
Good, good, good. Hey, Connor, I hate to cut you off, man. Guys, check out Connor over at the Libertas Institute. It's, what is it, libertas.org?
Libertasutah.org.
Okay, great. Guys, we'll check you tomorrow.